And again, we're going to take a little time to look at what Paul talks about with these next generation and who he lifts up as this next generation of leaders in the church. You know, in the church, we talk about for many years how the church has been the physical building of the church, has been central to the lives of faith for many different people. And that's been for a long time in this country. But in many ways, it wasn't always that way. In many ways, the center of the faith was found in the home. And while the church gave a place for families and people all throughout the community to come together and worship, it was also there in the center of the home that church was happening. That's really the way the early church was developed. And there were a lot of workers that were involved in this. And we don't know a lot about their stories. Sometimes the scriptures just alludes to them in quiet ways. And at the heart of many of these churches were many faithful women who, in a sense, were the backbone of the church that was coming alive. So Paul, I want to share with you just a little bit from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, actually, is what we're going to focus on. Paul writes to the people, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord that in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risk their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andonicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. My dear friend Stachys, greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who worked hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who's been a mother to me too. Greet Asynagrus, Plesion, Hermes, Petrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send their greetings. May God add His blessing to the reading, to the hearing, and more importantly, our understanding and recognizing the coming alive of God's Word in our lives today. In the Gospels, we hear about Jesus' life and death and His resurrection. We hear the stories that He taught and the people that He touched. We also hear all the lessons that He was specifically teaching to the disciples as He prepared them for that day after His death and resurrection, when the ministry would be handed over to them, the physical ministry on earth, and they would become vessels for God to work through in fresh new ways. Then we hear of people like Saul and his encounter with Christ and how he became Paul and the difference that he began to make. We've been looking at those stories of Peter and John and things that they were learning and things that they were doing and things that they were seeing even while they were in prison on islands and far-off lands. But Paul lifts up that next generation of leaders, some of them having a relationship with God longer than he has. And it's interesting to note that out of like 27 names, 10 of them are women. And after each and every one of their names, Paul points out the fact and makes it clear in a way that nobody's ever going to miss it, that these folks are working really hard to do what needs to be done. For some of the men, he even gives thanks for their mothers who are acting as a mother to him. They're making a tremendous difference in his life and in the church, and more importantly, in the spreading of the gospel and in the coming alive of the church that God was planting and growing in so many different ways. Among them, there's Tryphena and Tryphosa, believed to be a couple of twins that may have been working together, working hard for what God was doing. There's Priscilla and Aquila, fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Like Paul, they were both tent makers. They made shawls, prayer tents, for people. It would be an important part of their life, of their Jewish tradition, and living out and passing on their faith. And not only did they work side by side with them, and in some of the same communities, but Paul says, they gave their very life for me. And so I'm not only grateful to them, but all the churches too. And I'm not only grateful for them, but the whole church that's meeting in their house. And he talks a little bit more about that in his letter to the Corinthians. He talks about Phoebe, this servant of the church in Centuria. He says, I want you just to receive her in the Lord in a way that's worthy of all the saints. In other words, receive her like you would me, or any of those disciples that had been walking with the Lord. What she has to say and the things that she's doing, they're important. Pay attention to them. Don't miss what's happening. She's been a great help to many people, including me, Paul says. He makes it personal. Talks about the difference that they're making in his life. Again, the gospel, the good news of God's love is timeless and endless, but it is for all generations. But it doesn't get passed on by accident. It gets passed on by hard work and fellowship and perseverance and sharing in the burden and in the joy of doing that work. And that's what Paul's lifting up here. He's talking about how these folks are faithfully bearing the burden of work that needs to be done. But what a joy it is to watch their faith come alive. And what a joy it is for him to be a part of their life and for them to be a part of his life. And this is one of those letters that Paul uses a lot of family language in. Isn't it great that it's a family that's not bound by time, that's not bound by space? The story of a mother who loved her son in deep and wonderful ways, and as he was getting ready to graduate for high school, he wanted to get himself a new car. He had it all picked out. He told her just what he needed for money, and he kept waiting for that graduation gift. And on that evening after his graduation, his mom handed him a box. He unwrapped the box, and inside, much to his dismay, was a Bible. There wasn't the check that he was looking for. He was disappointed. Anybody ever been disappointed? You're really looking forward to something and you don't get it? Even if it's something that's going to be helpful. That disappointment's hard to deal with. Quickly it turned to anger and he stormed out of the house because he felt like his mother didn't know him at all. He said some harsh words and many years went by and they never said a word to each other. One day he received word of her death. He made his way home to the funeral and he wept like he'd never wept before. Harriet Beecher Stowe says that some of the most bitterest of tears that are wept at the grave are over things left unsaid and things left undone. He was wrestling with that in a real way. His heart was hurting. And somewhere in the middle of it all, he didn't know where to turn for comfort now. Even though he hadn't had a relationship with his mom in years, he knew she was there, hanging out on the fringes. Have he ever wanted to turn back? But now it didn't seem like he could. So he went back home, still shedding those bitter tears, still with a broken heart. But yet somewhere in the middle of searching through all of his mother's stuff, he found the Bible that she had given him many years before, that he'd left laying on the table when he left the house. And he began to flip through the pages. And there, in the beginning of the story, in the beginning of the Bible, there were dates, there were births, there were dates where people had been born in his family. There were dates where people had died in the family. There were funeral cards of places, of different services that she'd been to for loved ones that he had. There were pictures that he'd drawn, that he had drawn when he was a child, that she'd tucked into the pages. There was a baptism certificate hidden right there in the Gospel of John, between the pages. And as he flipped through the pages of Revelation and saw the words of God doing a new thing, he found a check that would have covered the cost of his brand new car. And he continued to weep over all that had been wasted, over all that had been forgotten. He didn't think that God's Word was going to be relevant, but yet in that Word there were so many other things that were hidden, that were such an important part of his life and of his path. As he began to learn how to live out forgiveness in your life, and as he began to learn what it meant to let God heal wounds in your heart, he began to rejoice in some of those memories that were there, even in the midst of the sadness as well. Like I said, sometimes it's our mothers that do pass on their faith to us. Sometimes it's our grandmothers who pass on their faith to us. We see that lifted up in some of the New Testament scriptures. But then there are other people who step in as well and act as mothers in the faith, who pass on those lessons in life that we need to learn, who bring new meaning to God's Word in the everyday lives that we live. I want to take a minute and remember some of those. Who are some of the people in your life that have acted as a mother in the faith for you? Just if you'd like to lift up their name and maybe just something quick that you learned from them, we could share with one another. Because, you know, sometimes when we open our hearts and share with one another, that's where we learn, that's where we grow. That's what sharing our faith with one another is all about. And isn't it wonderful? You know, we live in a world, and again, you know, you talk about that God's kingdom is a different kingdom than the kingdom that we live in. And, you know, so often we hear stories that are told and songs that are written and poems that are written that are trashing mother-in-laws. But yet, in the middle of it, you hear these tremendous testimonies that are lifted up, like Joe just shared with us, of the difference that a mother-in-law can make in one's life. The kingdom of God, the family of God, is a whole different world. It's a whole different ballgame. So we give thanks for Elizabeth with you. And isn't that true that you know, Paul talks about those, you know, our lives are like living letters to people. We're living letters that just bring God's presence into people's life. And in a sense, that's what you're saying there. You know, the gospel comes alive. It's in the flesh. Yeah, those actions do speak louder than words, and that's what, you know, Paul's lifting up here. These folks are the backbone of the church. They're bringing the gospel alive in fresh ways, serving people throughout the community in the middle of dark and difficult times. We give thanks for your sister with you as well. And isn't that true? There's many times that an older sibling or something may become like a mother in many different ways. And even though those folks go on ahead of us, those lessons that we learn from them, they come alive in our hearts, and we remember them this time of year and on days like this. And so it can be an emotional day that way. God meets us in the midst of that. Celebrate that. Thank you for sharing that, because, you know, it's important to name those folks in our lives as well. There's something powerful about that. You know, again, when God created the world and then He made man and women in His image, He lets man take over and begin to name all the animals, because there's something powerful in that. Naming is important. And so we need to name those people and lift them up with our voices as we give thanks for them. Join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, we give You thanks for all of those who have faithfully served You in so many ways down through the ages, to share Your Word, to share Your love, to share that journey through life with each and every one of us. We thank You for the lessons that we've learned from them. We thank You for the time and the energy that they've sown into teaching each and every one of us. We pray that in those places where we still grieve, those that we love but see no more, that even there You would meet us today and bring healing, Lord. But for those who have reached out to us down through the ages, who still live and walk among us, we pray that You would teach us about how important time is and help us to make that time just to say hello, just to say thank You, not to leave it undone because it's just too important to do. We thank You for Your one great love that's made known in many ways. We thank You for the way that it lives and breathes among us right here and right now. And Lord, we give You thanks for the opportunities that You give us to share Your love with others as well. So Lord, we offer all these things up to You this morning, giving thanks for Your amazing grace and for the people whom through You, for whom You've decided to make Your love known through. We thank You, Lord, for them today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.